America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. He joins us every Monday in the 12 o'clock hour, and we appreciate same. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Good to be with you today.
Guy, a lot of breaking news about both Volkswagen and Ford relative to EV mandates and consumer demand. And most recently, the city is embarking upon having registered vehicles in the
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
The city of New Orleans account for 40% of all passenger and light-duty vehicles by 2035. I'm not sure we're going to get there. Your thoughts?
Well, out of all the things the city could focus on, that is toward the bottom of my list. Currently, 1% of the vehicles in the metro area are electric. There are a number of challenges, and I'm really not even sure why we're considering this when the streets are, you know, riddled with potholes. We can't solve drainage, and we have other issues. But New Orleans is really not a great place to try and go all EV for a bunch of reasons. One, we haven't hardened the grid, so the likelihood of power going out is still very real, particularly during tropical storms. You also have the danger of evacuation. If you have to evacuate, an electric vehicle is a horrible choice because you'd be sitting in traffic going to Baton Rouge just in panic mode watching the battery go down. So very, just an odd focus. And I wish we'd focus on just fundamental good government. Let's get the streets paved, the lights. You know, the street lights don't work in downtown New Orleans. Just fix the street lights, fix the drainage. So moving nationally, though, and internationally, Volkswagen is running against some economic realities, and I really don't see how they solve the problem. Volkswagen has the highest-priced labor force in Europe. So it costs more to hire somebody in Germany than anywhere else in Europe and anywhere else in the world. So high-priced labor. Volkswagen has never laid off workers in Germany. They've never closed a plant in Germany. But they're being pushed by the government in a number of different ways. They're being pushed to go to electric vehicles, but the German people are resisting buying electric vehicles, just like the Americans are. And the Chinese are producing much cheaper electric vehicles. So Volkswagen's profits in China have dropped precipitously. They're faced with other cost challenges. Europe and particularly Germany, because of their environmental moves, have pushed up the cost of electricity. So it's really difficult to manufacture in Germany. And when you're facing low demand, very high cost, and a labor union that has said, you know, we may have to do what labor has to do when our existence is threatened, really does put a challenge. And one of the things that manufacturers and governments have never been willing to say out loud is, let's imagine you could magically transform from internal combustion to electric, and there's no friction, it just occurs overnight. You have 30% too many workers. Now, let that sink in for a minute. You're a labor union. You have 30% too many people because electric vehicles aren't as complex as internal combustion. You think about it, an engine with, you know, spark plugs, pistons, camshafts, et cetera, versus an electric motor and a battery that just gets delivered. So if you make this transition, you need far less labor. And that's what Volkswagen is wrestling with. As they increase their share of electric vehicles, they need fewer workers. As Germany ratchets up their cost because of environmental issues, it's difficult to compete globally. The Chinese are creating better and cheaper electric vehicles, and the labor unions are saying, well, we're not going to let you close any plants. So I'm not sure how you square that circle for Volkswagen, but they really are up against a very difficult situation.
And obviously, domestically, Ford has come to the same realization, right? Maybe different reasons, but...
Yeah, we have the same problem in the U.S., but it's a little different. In the U.S., we don't have the mandates, at least not in too many cities. Now, you have some mandates in California that are pushing you to sell a certain number of electric vehicles for every internal combustion. So that means you have to either give away the electrics or reduce your sales. And most companies are finding they're having to reduce sales. Ford's challenge is that they're losing their shirt on electric vehicles. You know, that division is losing so much money that the workers who negotiated a great labor contract, and we talked about this earlier, the workers get a bonus for every billion in profitability. If Ford did not have their losses in EVs, the workers would get an extra $5,000 per year in profit bonuses. So the workers are looking at this and saying, you know, this is really not helping us a lot. In fact, it's the exact opposite. We're losing our profit sharing. And the company reports that their EV division lost $3.7 billion. Now, here's the scary number. Imagine you're in charge of Ford. You're losing $55,000 per electric vehicle that you sell. How in the world do you make that work?
more government assistance. See,
well, there may not be enough government assistance to make that work. The other thing is their electric. They made a mistake by letting an engineer actually ask some answer questions at a press conference at an auto show. And he was asked, well, why is it that you're capable of making 180,000 Lightnings, which is their pickup truck, electric, and you've only sold 22,000? He said, well, it's a matter of physics. A bigger vehicle requires a bigger battery. A bigger battery is more expensive, but the bigger battery and the higher weight reduce efficiency. And if you tow, the mileage, which is stated at 302 miles, probably a bit less, drops by 50%. So if you're using a pickup truck for truck-like things like towing or carrying a big load, you have a very small range. And what they're finding is customers just don't like it, and they're not buying the Lightning. So what Ford's done is they used to have three shifts making these vehicles when they thought they were going to sell a lot. They've cut back to one shift. But what's worse is they've actually idled the plant between now and January. So if you're making the pickup truck, you're literally out of work right now. You're on furlough until January.
What impact has that had on the economy? I mean, and I know we're going to talk about the jobs report, but I don't want to get into that just yet. But, you know, some of the economists are saying today, well, you know, we had a couple of strikes and this and that. And when you have like this complete failure of what was thought to be an up-and-coming profit center for the auto manufacturers, and it's just not happening. And at some point in time, there's going to have to be some predatory action taken, right? Somebody's going to suffer. I mean, it's going to be the auto workers, the consumers, somebody. I mean, that's going to have to reveal itself in the economy some way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah, what's happening right now is the shareholders are taking a hit because Ford is less profitable. The auto workers are taking a hit because they're being laid off. So you had three shifts, now you have one, you were working, now you're on furlough. So jobs are already declining, and that has a ripple effect through the economy because obviously, you know, most of us have had some point in our lives when we're out of work. First thing you do when you're out of work is quit spending. And it's like, man, if it's not necessary to keep the lights on or keep people alive, we're just not spending the money. So all of the subsidiary things, the eating out, the flowers, the shopping, the travel, that all goes away. And you can imagine for the auto workers that are out of work right now, they're not spending a ton of money at Christmas. They're not spending a lot at Thanksgiving. They're doing the minimum. So it begins to have a very negative effect on the economy. And the most frustrating part, and I realize that the objective is to reduce CO2 emissions, but this isn't helping globally because China is building coal-fired plants in China. They're also financing coal-fired plants around the world. India and Indonesia are increasing their CO2 emissions. So even if Ford sold all the Lightnings they could, it just wouldn't make a difference. It actually doesn't help the climate in any way that's measurable. So you're really taking a big hit, and you may feel good about it. You may feel that it's essential, but the actual effect is not to make any difference at all. And that's the unfortunate thing. And at some point, the voters begin to realize that and say, you know, let's do some rational climate things. Let's not do irrational things that just cost us money and don't really solve a global problem.
Well, obviously, it has a disproportionate impact on the poor than anyone else in this move to EVs. What's interesting for me is, you know, we continue to have this battle over the mining of rare earth minerals. We continue to get caught up in the regulatory morass and the environmental morass relative to the mining of these minerals. But also, we've yet to figure out in my view, a plan for these batteries once they reach the end of their life cycle. Where do we put all of those? I mean, like in the city here, we haven't yet to develop a plan for tires. And tires are not nearly as harmful to the environment as expired batteries, right?
Yeah, you need a comprehensive recycling plan for the batteries at the end. The other thing, and you mentioned mining, and this is where we're a little schizophrenic in the U.S. If we really want to do an EV transition, and there are arguments to be made for that, and I think there will be a transition, it's just not going to be as fast as politicians would like. But if you want to do a transition, the U.S. government shouldn't have banned a mine in Arizona that would get rare earth minerals. It shouldn't have banned a road in Alaska that would allow access to battery materials. So we're preventing domestic supply. China is gathering more supply around the country and monopolizing the supply of these rare earth minerals. We're not opening up our domestic supply. And a lot of people are scratching their heads and saying, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, if we need these minerals to make batteries, they have to be mined somewhere in the world. If we're not going to do it here, then it will be done elsewhere. And our standards are much better. We have much better environmental standards, whether it's mining minerals, mining oil and gas, than occur overseas. So we're actually making decisions that hurt the environment and raise our cost. And a lot of people wonder, it's like, why in the world is that? But you have a battle within the administration, and it's also in Europe, where the Greens that are radically green don't want to do anything in their own country. They don't want to do anything in terms of oil and gas because they feel like that's a moral imperative to not do it. But they're not looking overseas and realizing, you know, India is a growing economy, and they're going to create supply of electricity in whatever way makes sense. And if you make it ridiculously expensive to do it from an environmentally safe way, they're going to go coal and any other thing that's inexpensive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not. Sometimes it feels like our approach is though we live in a bubble, and I get the whole mentality you lead by example, but you know, history has a way of repeating itself. And if you look around the world, there's not many people that are necessarily following our lead on this at the present time, right?
No, and I think, you know, the technology is good technology. I mean, Tesla developed a phenomenal vehicle.
Sure. I mean, this is not a knock on EVs. It's just a knock on the implementation of this process.
Yeah.
It's
just, when you push faster than the consumer is willing to buy, you create a number of distortions. And that's where we are now. And if I were on the strong green side, I would be worried. I said, you know, if you alienate the voters by pushing too hard, you're going to get thrown out of office and you'll get policies that you really dislike. And we're seeing that in Europe where, you know, Volvo suspended production of their battery plant. You know, local opposition just said, no, we're done with this. So it's irrational to push ahead of the consumer. It makes far more sense to let the technology evolve at the right pace and then to promote things that make economic sense. The compact nuclear plants, which, you know, we're once again struggling against that. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission makes it so hard to do that in the U.S. that we're ignoring an almost risk-free source of power and certainly an environmentally better source of power just because. And the things we do aren't rational at this point.
Yeah, I mean, is Germany still a little bit on the fast track moving in that direction or no?
They are, but Germany has a real problem. They have a very unstable coalition. There are three parties in the coalition, one being the Greens. And this unstable coalition came about because the far right gained a significant number of votes. And the other three parties said, well, we don't want to have them in the coalition. And the three parties in the ruling coalition don't really agree on very much. So the chancellor said it's literally like having a summit every day. So they're struggling, and they also, they've created some problems for themselves. Their electric mandates have pushed up the power, the cost of electricity in Germany. So the average householder, and you talked about the poor, people consume essentially all of their income. They're being pressed with very high utility costs because of the Green part of the coalition. And remember, Germany's a country that closed. They're perfectly fine, perfectly safe, never had an accident, nuclear power plants, just to please the Green Party, and started burning wood pellets instead. So, yeah, you have some irrationality, and at some point the voters do rebel against that. But it's a big struggle in Germany, and they're manufacturing. They're losing their manufacturing base because of these policies, and the workers are absolutely up in arms. And once again, when the head of the Volkswagen labor union said, we'll do what we have to do when we're threatened. Well, if they go on strike, it really will further devastate Volkswagen. Their profits are already down 65%.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And again, this is really not an anti-EV. It's just the consumer suffers in the short term and ultimately may suffer in the long term if you don't just get the timing just right. Because if the consumer demand's not there and you're making these mandates, this whole thing gets upside down. And you got to make sure your supply chain is where you want it to be, not only geographically, but economically as well. So it's going to be interesting because a lot of it's not aligning at the present time, which is what you're talking about. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. The jobs report comes out, and we're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Your thoughts about same, Guy?
Oh, very, very tough report. Only 12,000 new jobs created, and the mix was pretty concerning. Professional services, minus 47,000. Manufacturing, minus 46,000. Healthcare, plus 53, and government, plus 40. So really not good numbers, not a good mix. And you also had revisions to the two prior months, and the revisions were negative. And at some point, when the revisions are always negative, you start really questioning, you know, how the figures are put together, because the revisions were minus 112,000. And I think I would be much more inclined to look at the ADP payroll numbers than the government numbers. And I don't think they're deliberately doing anything wrong, but the government numbers are a survey. ADP is real jobs. And it still baffles me why the government doesn't use Social Security info, because the first thing every worker does when you go to work is you sit down with HR, they get your Social Security number, they get your number of deductions, and then they start payroll. So we actually have real-time info, but we use a survey which is inaccurate, which is unfortunate, I think, for a lot of reasons.
Are they challenged? Have they ever provided an explanation as to why they don't utilize that data?
You know, it's sort of like, why is government so inefficient? And, you know, there really is not an explanation. I mean, if you're a contractor, I talked to one of our contractor customers. All he does is build carbon copy fast food restaurants. And, you know, some places the approval can be as quick as one day. Some places the approval can take over a year. And the designs never change. I mean, a McDonald's, a Burger King, a Waffle House, they're going to build what they build. Why municipalities take a long time to do it is a mystery. Some are worse than others, but we do things inefficiently because we've always done them inefficiently. And I would love to see a movement to make things better. That was one of the things Jimmy Carter promised way back in a distant presidency, that zero-based budgeting and improved government efficiency. And God bless him. I wish he had gotten that done.
But the importance of these numbers and their reports, I mean, it has an impact on a lot of different things, does it not?
Oh, it does. And I think that's one reason why even though they won't say it out loud, people at the Federal Reserve and other economists look at the ADP numbers and say, okay, that's a much better number than the federal numbers, because they always are adjusted. Now, they're usually directionally accurate. It's just a matter of, you know, how accurate. Now, we're not doubting that this number is a real low 12,000. It might be, it could be negative 10, it could be plus 20, but it's somewhere in that range. But yeah, you could make it a lot better if there was a desire to make it a better number.
So does this change the outlook at all relative to the Fed and what they have been forecasting as it relates to another rate cut?
The Fed is almost certainly going to do 25 basis points this Thursday. And the reason is they're faced with a tremendous dilemma. And the dilemma is we're doing things that stimulate the economy and we're doing things that shrink the economy, that are counter-stimulative at the same time. So it's sort of like putting one foot in hot water and one foot in cold water and saying, what does it do to your body temperature? So we're stimulating the economy by spending a lot more than we take in. We're causing the economy to contract by keeping rates relatively high compared to core inflation. So we've got high interest rates with the attempt to slow the economy, big government spending with the attempt to accelerate the economy. So it's sort of like, alcohol is a depressant and cocaine's a stimulant, if someone that's taking both drugs at once.
So as we're looking, I mean, obviously timing's everything. This is not a good report for the purposes of this election. Do you think it has any impact?
I don't think so. There was an ironic article that said, you know, for the three or four people that are still undecided, maybe you shouldn't vote. You know, you obviously haven't been paying attention, and it doesn't matter which side you're coming from. Both sides think, look, by now you should know. And I sort of agree with that, but there may be people balanced on a knife edge. And look, we'll see after tomorrow how it goes. I just want it to be over after tomorrow, not to extend into January.
I'm still trying to meet one of those undecided. I hadn't found one yet.
I try and steer clear of politics. I find there are a lot of other things to talk about. Used to be Saints football at the early part of the season. Now it's, you know, LSU that needing to win out and the festival season. You know, Taylor Swift had a great weekend in New Orleans. Super Bowl is coming up. I guess we get, hopefully we'll have some interesting matchups there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, it seems as though Google has ruffled the feathers of the Russians. Tell us about it.
They really have, and it's an intriguing thing. The Russians got very mad at Google because they banned the Russian propaganda network, RIA, Sputnik, and TASGARD. So what Russia did is they fined Google, and this is a number that you don't hear very much, a decillion dollars. So
jeez,
next time
so
you want some money,
is that?
A decillion dollars, that is 33 zeros behind one. Now, if I'm the Russians, I would have had a little more fun than that. Google, the mathematical term Google, means a one with 100 zeros behind it. So, you know, why do 33 zeros when you could do 100? But the interesting thing about the gazillion dollar fine is it's more money than exists in the world. It's more money than the GDP of the world going back to the year zero, and obviously no way in the world Google would ever consider paying it. But it's an example of how outrageous Russia can be, and the fine gets bigger. It doubles in 9 months if Google doesn't pay it. So likelihood is Google is not going to negotiate a settlement on this.
So if you live in Russia, can you still utilize Google or no?
No, you have to have a VPN to get to Google.
And right.
Which, is, you know, a lot of people do. Russia's a pretty technologically sophisticated country, but the government hates Google. They really dislike the fact that they're not allowing their propaganda to be on there. But Google realized they were just creating absolute false stories. And, you know, Google said, no, you just can't do that. There has to be some rationality and some reality. And Vladimir Putin doesn't like rationality and reality compared to him. Remember, he's the one who said this is a limited military, a special military operation, not a war, right. Not an invasion.
Unbelievable. I've never heard of the number.
So, Newell, 30. Fun backstory. Do you know what Google's first name was?
No.
It's the worst name in the internet ever. They first were called the company Backrub.
Backrub.
Obviously, somebody came to their senses right away and said, you know, let's do Google, which it'll mean lots of information, like a G with 100 zeros behind it.
Right.
A lot
exactly.
better than the Backrub acronym.
Speaking of 100 zeros, what is the latest state of the state of cryptocurrency? Someone called in and wanted to that question asked of you.
Yeah, I still do not recommend crypto for a number of reasons. It's used for every type of criminal enterprise, and it's only valuable as long as somebody else wants to buy it from you. There's nothing behind it. So there's no fundamental net worth of crypto. It also is, because of the anonymous nature, you can't do a subpoena and get financial records. So if the criminals are using it to do ransomware, there's no way to find out where it goes. But also, if you lose your password, there was a guy in England who threw away a computer, and on the computer he had his password for his Bitcoin account, and it was $33 million of Bitcoin. Well, the local dump said, well, that's unfortunate. He said, look, I'll pay to have the dump excavated. You know, I'll do it. I'll put it back perfectly. I'll do everything. And the local council said, you know what? Tough luck, dude. There's a little bit of, meanness in not letting it get his money back. But if you lose your password, you're just out of luck. And this guy lost his password, lost his Bitcoin. And, somewhere in the dump is a hard drive that has that password on it. But if you lose it, there's nowhere to go get it back.
Guy, there were a bunch of companies providing that type of currency. Where do we stand today? I mean, I know a number of them fell out.
They did. One of the problems with Bitcoin is it's a tremendous consumer of electricity. I mean, we've talked a lot about electricity, and I'm really not anti-green energy. I think it's a good thing. Ultimately, we should get there. But Bitcoin is created by solving a very complex mathematical formula that has no value. It's not like the secrets of the universe or a formula that is valuable in physics. So you're running these mines, and they're really a bunch of computers linked together to create a Bitcoin. China banned Bitcoin. They said, look, we don't like it because it's anonymous, so we don't like people getting around the government. But we also don't like the waste of electricity. So the Bitcoin miners have moved, ironically, to the U.S. and to other countries that allow it. So it does exist, but a lot of these companies that aren't efficient aren't creating Bitcoin at a level to justify the electricity cost. So some of the miners have gone out of business, and people create new Bitcoins all the time. I mean, that's a generic term, new cryptocurrencies.
Right.
And
yeah.
There are thousands of them, and they literally have no value unless somebody thinks they're valuable. And they ebb and flow in and out. So I really would not advise people to put any serious money into that. It's not an asset or a financial investment.
Yeah, I mean, I've yet to be able to figure out exactly how it all works. is something beyond my ability to understand for certain, and I've stayed away from it. But if you want it to go into the tank, I can invest in it because that's exactly what it'll do the moment that I get, I get there.
And that's one of the problems. People tend to invest at the end when the cycle is over.
Yeah.
I just can't be enthused about it. Some people are doomsdayers and they're worried about that. If you're in that camp, I would buy gold, you know, get Krugerrands or Canadian maple leaves and actually have gold. And I'm not recommending that. I'm just saying if you're someone that is very nervous about a collapse of currency, that's a better investment than Bitcoin.
Yeah. Tangible. You can hold it for sure. As always, we truly appreciate your time, your insight. Always enjoy this hour with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Have a great week.
Oh, thank you. Good to be with you.
We will be right back. Check in with Scoot to see what he has to offer today on a manic Monday. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Scoot joins us. He's coming your way. What do we have coming up today, Scoot?
Well, today is a manic Monday on steroids. We've got the firing of Dennis Allen. We've got the election tomorrow, the death of Quincy Jones. And, you know, so much going on with the election. We'll talk about whether or not Donald Trump deserved equal time because Kamala Harris appeared on Saturday Night Live. We'll get into all of that this afternoon. But, yeah, a lot of news about the firing of the coach. We'll have the press conference of the interim coach coming up.
Absolutely. Scoot's up next. Stay tuned, folks.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.